Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of The Climate Stand with a Final Stand. I'm Shalini Prem, and co-hosting with me today is Nanki Arora. For today's episode, we have Mr. Joydeep Gupta, who will share his experiences and insights on what is known as environmental journalism, or rather, climate and environmental news reporting. We're really excited about this episode and hope you enjoy it too.
Thank you so much, Shalini, for the introduction. Everyone, Mr. Joydeep Gupta is an adjunct faculty at the Jindal School of Journalism and Communication. He is also the director of the Third Pole and India Climate Dialogue, run jointly by China Dialogue and the Internews Earth Journalism Network. He writes, commissions, and edits articles on climate change, biodiversity, pollution, and sustainable development. He also trains environmental journalists and used to teach science and development journalism at the Mass Communications Research Center at Jamia Millia Islamia University, New Delhi. He has also reported for Indo-Asian News Service, The Statesman, The Sunday Observer, and Sunday Mail. He has also been in India's Project Tiger Governing Council, and he is the Vice President of the Forum of Environmental Journalists in India. He has also co-authored studies on green technology transfer for the United Nations Conference on Trade and Development and on water pollution from steel factories for the Confederation of Indian Industry. Thank you, sir, and welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, and thanks for the kind introduction.
Let's just get into it. Could you please explain to our audience what is climate or environmental journalism and why it is important for us to engage in climate journalism? What are its objectives?
Okay, let me start by saying I don't really like this term of an environment journalist or a climate journalist because it tends to ghettoize journalists. And that's not a good thing to happen, especially today when climate change is something that is far more than an environment story. It's a political story. It's a security story. It's a health story. It's an economic story. It's even a sports story. So it is very important now that all journalists cover climate change. In fact, it is the story of the century because we are all currently being affected by climate change. And we shall continue to be affected by climate change more and more for the rest of this century. So having said that, the way it actually happens is that somebody is either asked in a newsroom or he or she has an interest in the subject and says, okay, I want to do a story on this. And then he or she does that story. And if it's good, it develops more interest in the subject. And once it develops more interest in the subject, you get more and more people coming into this, and those people who have been working on this are given more and more stories to do. That's essentially how very often this term of climate journalist or environment journalist crops up. As I said in the beginning, it's not a very good idea for only one or two people in a newsroom to be doing this. Everybody needs to be doing this.
Yes, Professor. Thank you so much for your response. I think that's a very interesting perspective. And when you said that climate change is the current story, I think we as people who are trying to instigate the conversation on climate change, we agree because we see climate change as a very intersectional topic. It affects everyone. It is the reality. It is what everyone is facing today. So, sir, what exactly motivated you to see it like this? What motivated you to find this perspective in your journey as a journalist?
If you're asking about climate change in specifically, then it is because I've had that kind of career trajectory that I just told you about. When I first started doing stories about the environment, my official job was to cover Delhi police and parliament and political parties. It was not a part of my official job at that time to cover environmental issues. But I had an interest in the subject. I found the subject important. And in my own time, after having worked the whole day in the office, I talked to other people and did these extra stories. I was at that time working in the Statesman, and I'm very glad that the editors in the Statesman encouraged me to do this. And that's how I started working more and more stories on the environment. I'm talking about the 1980s when I started. Towards the end of the 1980s, a very important report was launched globally. It was called Our Common Future. And that report was the first that alerted the world, and including me, on what climate change was doing and what it threatened to do. And that helped me develop an interest in this subject. Soon after that, that report was published in 1989. Soon after that, a global conference was organized in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in 1992. It was called the Earth Summit. I was asked to cover it. And when I went to cover the Earth Summit, which was a two-week conference, I realized that we are now in a situation where climate change, biodiversity loss, desertification were issues that had already gone well beyond the sphere of environment journalism or just environmentalists or just a few activists and NGOs. It was something that was already hitting the economy, and all scientific forecasts, all scientific studies projected that it would hit our economies more and more and more. It would hit our lives more and more and more. It would hit our health, it would hit the security of our country, it would hit our water supply, and that is exactly what has happened. It's now 30 years since that Rio Earth Summit took place, and that is what we have seen over the last 30 years. And that is why I developed an interest, because I realized that this was the topic to cover.
Thank you, sir. And speaking of how climate change is not only an isolated topic, but rather a systemic issue that affects all verticals of journalism and a typical news organization, including, like you said, it's health, technology, lifestyle, culture, food, sports, etc. How can journalism be reimagined through a lens of sustainability? Or in other words, how should journalists approach writing or reporting in their fields from the lens of climate change, which is, as you highlighted, an all-pervasive and intersectional issue?
Journalism is about news. For anything to be a story, there has to be something new in it. And journalism is different from activism. It's different from advocacy. It has to be objective. Your objectivity may be a myth, but it's very important for a journalist to try and be as objective as possible. It's very important for a journalist to not to transgress that fine line between journalism and activism. It is often a very thin line, but it is important for the sake of his and her credibility in the wider public not to transgress that line. Having said that, it is actually extremely easy today to do stories on sustainability, on how we can have more sustainable economic pathways at global, national, local, and individual levels. Because this is now, as I was saying, this being the story of the century, it is also the research topic of the century. So there is research going on all the time. There is new information, new data, new understanding coming out all the time. So there is absolutely no problem in this being newsy. On top of that, as climate change impacts become worse and worse, communities are being hit more and more. Whether these communities are in or around the Jindal Global University campus in Sonepat, they are being hit by climate change. Those of you who will be moving into your hostels, you are being hit by climate change. I live in Nedley, I'm being hit by climate change. Those who live in the mountains or the plains or the coasts are being hit by climate change, and it's getting worse and worse. That's one part of the story. And it is a newsy story because it's new. The other part of the story is that people are not sitting quietly and suffering. They are adapting. They're improving their resilience. They are protesting. They are trying their best to cope with a new reality. They're trying their best to live as best as possible in a climate changed world. That's new. Therefore, that's news.
Thank you for your response, sir. As you said, sir, that it is a newsy story. Climate change, environment, it is going to be the center of reporting. It is the story of the century. But sir, what we also face as a challenge sometimes is that certain terms and terminologies related to environment and climate change can be very complicated. So there's a challenge of communicating these foundational and complex scientific elements. So how do you as a journalist tackle communicating this to the public, and how do you recommend others do the same?
It's the basic job of a journalist to make, to be jargon free, to explain complex terms in a completely jargon free, understandable language to his or her audience. And that is true of any form of journalism, whether it's climate change, where you have to explain what is a greenhouse gas, whether it is health journalism, where you have to explain what is a COVID-19 virus, whether it is political journalism, where you have to explain the difference between the Lok Sabha and the Rajya Sabha. So you cannot assume your audience knows everything. It is extremely important that you have enough background knowledge. And today it's extremely easy to have the background knowledge thanks to the ubiquitous internet, and to be able to translate that into language that is understandable by everybody.
Yes, of course, sir. But how do you overcome, in addition, like, even if the challenge of scientific information is tackled, how do you overcome the challenge of misinformation, especially by climate skeptics and those with vested interests in projects that may even be harmful for the environment or climate? Because in the age of internet, there is so much information available that it is hard to differentiate what is right from wrong. So how do we sort of overcome that challenge?
Misinformation, you're perfectly right. Misinformation, disinformation, half-baked information, these have become huge challenges to everybody, including journalists. And there is actually only one way to tackle all this. And that's fact-checking. As a journalist, you have to do your fact checks, and not from a single source. You have to cross-check your facts. And then you have to be very clear when communicating with your audience that this is the fact, and these are my sources. This is the credibility of this source. And that is why I'm saying what I'm saying. And that is why I can say with confidence that this is not misinformation. Let me explain to you something that a huge project that was carried out all over India over the last 2 years. We all understand, we all know that in India, we have been subjected to an enormous amount of misinformation in recent years. Again, misinformation, disinformation, combining half-truths and lies, combining truths and lies, we have been subjected to it. So, once this was realized, and it is the realization was growing, and a couple of years back, a number of organizations came together and went from newsroom to newsroom all over India. I think they went to over 700 newsrooms all over India, training journalists on how to catch misinformation, how to do a fact check. There is software available for each of these things. There are fact checking sites which do a brilliant work. Alt News, Boom. These are two sites that straight away come to mind. And it is very important that audiences also are aware of this. And of course, it's crucial for journalists to be not only aware of it, but to make it clear that this was this misinformation, but this is the actuality. And I'm saying this is the actuality because of this, this, and this.
Right, sir. So as you said, misinformation is one of the issues. What other challenges do you think are there in this field? Not only journalism, if you feel there are any challenges specifically with respect to reporting on climate change, what do you think are those challenges? What have you faced in your experience?
Okay, there are challenges maybe at various levels, but they're not probably unique to this form of journalism, except that it's relatively new. Many newsrooms are relatively new to this, and therefore they are unaware of all the ramifications, and that becomes a possible issue. And that is why you have to have maybe more training course, workshops, etc., etc. Now, what are the challenges? The one challenge that is the one that you yourselves identified is how to de-jargonize climate change or environmental issues or pollution issues. If you're doing a story on water pollution, now when you people go to the Jindal Global University campus, you'll find that there are huge issues of soil pollution and water pollution all around the campus. Now suppose you want to do a story on it, and you have to you check out on the water pollution situation, and you will find that the water pollution is measured in terms of words like BOD or COD or DO. You can't expect your audience to know what on earth these things mean. You have to explain that BOD is biological oxygen demand, and that is the demand of all the life forms that are in that water body, whether it's a stream or a canal or a river or whatever, or a lake. And if you don't have that oxygen because of the pollutants, then those animals, whether it's a fish or an insect inside that water, cannot live. COD is chemical oxygen demand. Without that basic level of chemical oxygen in the water, even the plants cannot. DO is dissolved oxygen. So you know that the more oxygen, the better. So essentially, do not assume that your reader or your listener or your viewer knows more science than, say, class 5 level. Everything else you need to explain in layman's terms.
Yes, sir. Thank you. We just wanted to ask you, is there an aversion to climate reporting? Because while we understand it is new, but it has existed, like you said, for a few decades now, yet the reporting is minimal compared to all the other verticals that exist. And like we also discussed, it's a systemic issue that affects all verticals, yet again, the reporting is minimal. So why is there such an aversion to the same?
There are, of course, issues involving traditional newsroom structures. Traditional newsroom structures, especially in India, have been extremely caught up with party political developments, not the wider polity, but party politics. They have been extremely involved with that. And that has taken up a lot of time and space. It's not to blame anybody, because that is something that affects people on a day-to-day basis. But it is important to recognize that climate change also affects people on a day-to-day basis. The other thing that newsrooms have traditionally been obsessed with, and rightly so, is the economy. Because that, again, is something that involves everybody. Now, it would be important for newsrooms, the gatekeepers in the newsrooms, the editors, to recognize that climate change, biodiversity loss, pollution, all these affect the economy as well. So, possibly, many of the older gatekeepers need some orientation courses, workshops, things like that. And I do hold these orientation courses. And I do find that whenever I point it out, I get very positive response. from newsrooms all over India, not just India, because they do these workshops in large parts of Asia. They do understand. But yes, journalism is going through a financial crisis period, which has been on now for at least 2 decades. Their ad revenues are shrinking. As a result, the space for news is shrinking. And therefore, balancing their traditional preoccupations with these new, relatively new news items is a tricky thing. Not every newsroom gets that balance right every day. But I have to say that the situation is improving and improving rapidly.
So it's so great to hear that the situation is improving. And it's also great to hear the work that you do in person with these newsrooms. But sir, speaking of newsrooms, as you mentioned, the cultures in newsrooms are constantly evolving. And apart from culture, the financial situation, we've also seen that with the internet coming in the digital and internet era, is journalism limited to the newsroom now, or has it gone beyond to the internet and above?
One of the basic requirements of professional journalism is that you do not do an unedited blog and put it out in the net and call that a piece of journalism, or you do not put out an unedited podcast and call that a piece of journalism. So it is important for audiences. There's not much that newsrooms or journalists can do about it. It's for all of us, are the audiences, to recognize what is checked journalism and what is unchecked journalism. I'm not saying that there is no place for unchecked journalism. Of course, there is. In this current day, there will be. It gives many more people an opportunity to voice their opinions, to voice their news, and that's exactly how it should be. But is that when it goes without any moderation, without any editing, without any fact check, then the audience needs to recognize that that's what it is, that this is one person's point of view and no more. Distinct from that is what you get from a credible, recognized news outlet. You will not find a news item on the net from a news outlet which the reporter has just written and it's been put out there. You will never find this. No newsroom in the world does this. Somebody has edited it. Somebody has done a fact check. In many cases, a second person has looked at it, and only then has it made it into the net or into the newspaper pages or the television screen or the radio station. And that's the difference. That's the difference. And that difference needs to be understood by the audiences. There's not much that journalists can do. In fact, there's nothing that journalists can do.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Especially for highlighting that it is the duty and responsibility of recipients of information and news and citizens and readers alike to not only make sure and take a conscious effort to read and consume climate change and environmental related news and information understand its implications in our everyday lives, but also to make sure that the sources from which we consume this news is reliable and credible. Having said that, we wanted to, before we concluded, ask you if you had any sort of message or comment that you would like to share with our audience, especially young environmentalists or young journalists who want to enter this challenging field.
Well, not really, but one of the things about journalism is that it's something that is best learned by doing. You don't really need to be a specialist to be a good journalist. You need an overall good education. You need to be able to know that, yes, if I need this particular information, these are the search engines through which I can look it up. And this is the kind of information I'll be looking for. And then you need to have extremely good command over the language in which you do your journalism, whichever language that may be, whether it's English or Malayalam or Hindi or Bengali or whatever. And that is extremely important in order to be able to communicate clearly and accurately. And most importantly, what is required to be a good journalist is curiosity. You have to be as curious as a cat. When you see a blocked drain as you're driving past, 99 people out of 100 will roll up their car windows and drive past. It's the 100th who will stop the car, get down, take a picture of that blocked drain, get back to the car, go wherever he or she is going, start ringing up the municipality and finding out why that drain is blocked. And that 100th person is the journalist. There is actually a very good photograph, which I don't know if I can't share with you at the moment because this is a podcast. It shows, and this is from Pakistan, from northern Pakistan near Peshawar, when there was a huge earthquake which flattened that part of Pakistan. And there's a photograph which shows a multi-storied building, a 10-storied building, from which people are running out. You can see dozens and dozens of people in that one photograph running out of that building because they think that building will collapse any moment. And there are four mad people who are equally desperately trying to get inside that building with their cameras and their equipment. And those are the four journalists. They are the curious ones. They need to know what is going on, what is news. So to me, that curiosity is what distinguishes a good journalist from anybody else.
Thank you so much, sir, for all your wonderful insights. I think if the 1 out of 100 person wasn't on the podcast, we just gave birth to them somewhere from our listeners all across the world. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time. And I'm sure our audience has a lot to gain from this episode today.
Thank you. You want to know more? Come to JSJC.
Wonderful, sir. We'd also like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. And we hope you reach out to us with any thoughts or feedback that you may have. While there's a lot to learn about the climate crisis, we at TFS are trying our best in terms of news. We have our own little newsletter we release every month called Urja. You can sign up for Urja, the link at our Instagram bio. We try to consolidate environmental news. So with that said, please stay restless and curious and join us every alternate Saturday to learn a little more about the climate right here with us at The Climate Stand with The Final Stand.